Morning, family.
Morning.
Definitely good to see everybody out this morning. Hope that you come for the express purpose of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I know this is a joyous time, exciting time for a lot of folks in our world, but I always like to say we should feel this way every day. You know, joy to the world should be sung 365 days a year. You understand that joy was truly brought in the form of Jesus Christ. All right, I think I got my stuff up here, my gadgets. Subject title this morning, Jesus, the Light of the World. Jesus, the Light of the World. And just ironically, I didn't even realize it, but as I was sitting there getting my thoughts together singing, you know, light makes a difference, doesn't it? Look around you. It's a difference, right? I heard all the good comments coming in, that the lights look so good, and, you know, you really don't know you need different light until you have different light. That's the way it works in this world. There are many folks in this world who are claim to be walking by the light, but it's not the true light. It is a light, but it's not the true light. Turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going to start there. I'm going to make some applications, and the lesson will be yours. John chapter 8. We're going to begin at verse number 12 and read down through verse number 18. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 18. I read 22. I'm going to read it all. John 8, 12 through 22. And it reads as such. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And if yet I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. They said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor know my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. Several points they were missing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in verse number 12 says, I am the light of the world, and those who follow me will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees took it way left. Who is he talking about? Why is he saying this? You know how sometimes people are when it comes to this? Jesus Christ says, my witness is true. They even call Christ a liar. You know, people do that today. People in the world do that today by either directly opposing what scriptures teach or even sometimes opposing that Jesus is truly the Son of God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Christ is truly the light of the world. Why? Let's look at some definitions of light. Give you a little bit of background. Light and heat are precious commodities, especially this time of year. You know, I'm a cold-natured person, so I don't need as much heat as somebody else do. But some people, a nice warm house, a heated seat in a car makes all the difference in the world. So we understand some people appreciate heat and light. Light is needed for the earth to operate properly. Can you imagine that we would not exist unless we had the light of the sun and also of the moon to help us in our daily lives and to provide a warm, great place to live that God has created for us. Many folks are proclaiming Jesus as the light of the world at this time, but I don't really think they understand what they're saying. As I was coming in and driving last night and sometimes at night, you know, it's beautiful to see all the lights that we see. It's just beautiful. Some people are very creative, and there's a beautiful scenery. Maybe you have some, and that's great, but I want to challenge us, do we understand what that's supposed to mean as opposed to what we say it means. Many folks say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, but the next question is that light shining through your life? Is it shining through your life? Because it should if you're walking with him, because verse 12 tells us that if we have Jesus, who's the light of the world, we also have light in our life. In our life, excuse me. But what truly is light? Give a little background what's going on here. What was going on here is probably what they have termed the Feast of Tabernacles. John 7:37 says the Feast of Tabernacles was taking place. At this Feast of Tabernacles, it included in an array of candelabras that would be lit. Rabbis would then dance around the candelabras. It was quite a spectacle to witness. Christ seems to be speaking from this point of reference. Now, Christ here goes into it. It's a common Jewish feast that happens once a year, this Feast of Tabernacles. And they light candles and candelabras, and in some situations, especially for those of the Jewish persuasion now, they still do Hanukkah. It involves lighting candles and things like that, to my understanding. But it was a great spectacle. But I think Christ was showing us here that these folks are dancing around a man-made light. But I truly am the light of life. My question is, getting into the rest of my lesson, what's your source of light? What's your source of light? You ever thought about it? You know, it's important. Source of light is important. If you don't believe it, think about how precious light is on a dark, cold night. Think about how many folks have stumbled in the dark when they refuse to cut the lights on going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Think about how many times that the absence of light has caused you to stumble, hurt something, fall, or whatever it is, or not see something in the dark. Think about how many times you've been scared with folks who are already waiting and hiding in the darkness and your eyes are not adjusted yet. The light's important. But what source of light is lighting your life? Point number one. I'll get back to that. Let me cover this first. The natural agent. Light is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Synonyms are illumination, brightness, luminescence, shining, gleaming, radiance, luster, glory, gaze, dazzle, etc. Christ created light, yet called himself the light of the world. Christ made what we have today. He caused the earth to sit exactly where it sits and spin on its axis and be lightened by the sun that so lightens our day during our lifetime. He made those things, but when you think about it, it doesn't make sense for light to make light, but then to be called light. But Christ proves that he's both the creator of light and light. Let's look at some facts about Christ being the light of the world and compare them to the normal definition of light. Point number one, light is always bright and obvious. We know when light's out there. We look outside, and we're looking outside the door, even in this building, we know that light is obvious. If we cut the lights out, there'll be a glimmer of light through that back glass window back there, but light would cease, right? So we know when light is obvious. Babies respond to light almost immediately. One of the first things that babies respond to is light. They hear sound, but they almost automatically respond to light. We respond to light, too, when we're sleeping and somebody cuts on the light overhead, right? How many times do we have to hide, try to hide our head in the covers, head and up under the covers and pillows when light's turned on, a bright source of light? Many folks don't like bright light. They like soft light. So light makes a difference. We know when there is light around or not. My question is today, can you tell whether the Christ, light of Christ is shining in your life? We should know that. How do we know that? By how we live our lives every day. It's so easy to say that we have the light but not reflect light. We're so easy to say we have a source of light, but because of things we do, we actually block or filter the light. Hebrews 1 and 3, Christ is the light of God's glory. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God commanded light to shine out of darkness and shine into our hearts. Are you walking by the light of Christ? Point number two, light always has a source. When there is light on in a moon, the source is easily known. In a room, excuse me. Even a blind person can feel the light and warmth of the sun. They may can't see it, but they can feel it. The works of Jesus validated him as the true source of light. Think about this in our own lives. Every time we crack the lids of his holy scriptures, it should enlighten us to the point where we ourselves change ourselves and become more like the true source of light so that we can reflect the true source of light. Christ is that source of light. He's our source. He's the one that we should reflect on in the world. Point number three. Catch up with it myself. The light of Jesus is limitless. Light shines a great distance. A candle in the right circumstances can be seen 20 miles away. The light of the sun and the stars in the universe shows that light can show and reflect great distances. The only thing that blocks light is something thick, solid, and hard. Not compared in a spiritual sense. The only thing that can block the light of Christ is the process of the hardening of our hearts. Light is so important to us in a spiritual sense. Without it, we couldn't see our way. We'd stumble in this thing called life. Without it, we would not be able to have our spirit of discernment exercise to the point where we're able to recognize the difference between light, true light, and true darkness. Light is limitless. The love of God is limitless. What he can do for us is limitless. And then it also tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that Christ can save or shine his light on the uttermost. If we fully follow Christ, his light in our lives is limitless. And that scares some folks, really. Because when we think about this, that means that everything we try to hide in the dark, Christ's light shines on. I don't know about you, but sometimes that makes me tremble when God is able to understand my own words, thoughts, and deeds. I got the deeds done. What about what we think? You ever thought about that, that God knows what we think? When you cursing that person out who ran over your foot in Walmart, he knows that. When you're saying things under your breath and in your mind's eye, somebody hears it. Word, thought, or deed. When we're out of distance and we're going down the road in our car and we say certain things, don't think it just flies in the wind. God hears it. Light illuminates everything. And I'm so glad it does in a positive sense because it also enlightens us to things we need to change. The light of God's word lets us know that none of us have arrived yet. We're still works in progress. There's still dark corners that we need to shine the light of Christ on. There's still dark thoughts and dark words that we need the word of God to shine in our light so that it will no more, we'll no more have darkness in that part of our life. Light's important, but light's sometimes scary. You don't believe it? What happens sometime when you turn over a log in the woods and the sun is shining bright? Don't bugs scatter? Somebody once told me light either drives you or draws you. Which category are you in? The reason why some folks are enlightened, as it talks about, we had a wonderful study on Wednesday night about Hebrews 4, verse 4 through 6. And we talked about the fact that how in the world is it impossible for somebody who was once enlightened to basically have their sins forgiven because basically they've known the light. But light has a way of driving or drawing us. Light should, if we're really right and have the right motive spiritually, it should draw us closer to the one. But if you're really not wanting to change and follow God, it will drive you away. And that's what happens to folks who walk away from the gospel. Light exposes all these things. Well, man, I got too far. I'm right. That's right. So the goal is not to harden our hearts. Matthew 13 and 15. We must not harden our hearts when we hear his voice. We do that sometimes, don't we? I'll be honest with you. We've all been there before. God, I know what that scripture says, and then that three-letter word comes afterwards. But that's the beginning of the hardening process. I know what I need to be doing for you, God, but it ain't usually good what comes after that. I know I should do this and live this way, God, but we don't realize that that is the beginning and the foundation, oftentimes, of the hardening of the heart process. Romans 2:15, heart hardening will cause the wrath of God to come upon us. That's how serious it is. Sometimes we get to the point, going back to our study on Wednesday night on Hebrews 4, verses 4 through 6, that our heart becomes so hardened that basically we're a lost cause. And it's not because God's light can't, but because we've chosen to block out every source of light in our lives. Many folks in that world today who were once faithful, who once followed Christ, but have gone back into the beggar elements of the world, and by doing so, the darkening process and the hardening process begin. Point number four, light requires action. It dispels darkness whenever present. Light also reproves darkness. The light of God's word should cause us and cause in our lives us to drive out sin from our lives. One of the reasons why it's so important to walk in light is because of that three-letter word entitled sin. We need something to drive sin out. We can't do it ourselves. When Christ says that he's the light of the world, he does that for several reasons. He brings light to us, but he also came and died so that we would have a way to deal with that three-letter word called sin. Light is also active. Light illuminates all things, both good and bad, as I said earlier. Psalms 109:5 says, God's word is a light to our paths. Light is not to be hid under a bushel. And this is where we come in at. Today, I think, in the majority, in a collective sense, we Christians have gone back or trying to hide our light under a bushel because of persecution, because folks talk about us, because of things that the world says about us and does to us. We have the audacity to believe that we can have a light and hide under a bush. That's not why God chooses to reflect light in our lives. He wants us to shine as stars in this world of darkness. Whatever world you're traveling in, whoever you're hanging around, we're supposed to shine as lights. But times like this, I fear that some people like to put light and cut out that pilot light, so to speak, so they can do what they want to do. That ought not be the case. But light does all of these things and more. So light is active. Point number five, bringing this lesson before landing. Light is also an extension of a light source, as I said before. Christ is the extension of God sent to dwell among men. We are to shine as lights in this world. We are to reflect the light of Christ in our lives. We are to lead others to the true source, Jesus, by shining our light on others. Now notice it says, let your light shine, not make it shine. What's the difference? Let's talk about that for a moment. And then when you're trying to make your light shine, you're basically doing something and you've already determined, and that person's already determined that they don't want light. What do? You just go about living a good, righteous life and living it before. You know, sometimes many folks who claim and have sincere efforts try to stuff scriptures down people's throats. It don't always work. Sometimes they'll gag on it. They can't handle it. But what we always can do is live a light of life in their presence. Most times people listen to what we do and not what we say. We can have the opportunity to live as light. You ever been that way before? I've been that way before, and I'm pretty sure you have as well. Maybe somebody who didn't know you, but they kind of knew something was different about you. What better way to explain is the light of Christ that's causing this? They can't always put a finger on it, but they know you're different. Maybe you're not saying and laughing at the same coarse, cruel jokes that they are. Maybe you're the ones who reaches out to others when others are down in this situation. Maybe you're the ones that decides to just live a humble, godly life before men. Not shoving it down their throat, just living. We win more souls by just letting our light shine as opposed to making it shine in this world. So we're to do these things. We're an extension of light. God counts us worthy to be his hands and eyes and ears in this world. What a blessing. At times like this, and even in holiday seasons like this, we ought to be doing our best to reflect the true light of this world. Talked about last week that light has meant many things even before Christ came on the scene. Wasn't always good, but now we have an opportunity to shine as lights in this world. What better blessing do we have today? And all we have to do is walk with the Master. Just reflect. I'm reminded of Moses when he spent 40 days on Mount Sinai getting the commandments. When he came down, his countenance was so bright that he had to veil himself. What about us? When we leave the setting today, will people be able to tell you spent time with Jesus in worship? Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, can folks tell you spent some time with Jesus? And one of the things they accuse the apostles of is being unlearned men, men from Galilee. But one of the things they had to admit to is they had been with Jesus. It's not about book knowledge. It's about really living the light and shining his lights before in the world we live in. Can folks tell we've been close to the true source? If so, we ought to just be by default shining as lights in this world. It ought to just come out of us naturally and oozing. Light. And Christ is the light that we talk about. We lead others to Christ by Jesus. Christ the light. Christ is attempting to shine in the lives of all today. What is evidence of Christ shining in us? We live a different life now. Our speech is different. We become more concerned about the souls of others. We value his word more than anything else. Do you want to check and see if you're with the right light source? This is just a quick check to see whether they line up with these things. Are you living differently than you did before? Is your speech different? Well, you know what? I always grew up with a potty mouth. That light should be able to shine some of that stuff out of there. It might not be a potty mouth, but it could be a gossiping mouth. It could be a backbiting mouth. The light should take care of a lot of that up front. How we live our lives. Are you concerned about souls for Jesus? That should be a motivating factor, the top motivating factor of even the church, to seek and to save the lost. If you're being with Jesus and the light shining through you, that will be a great mission in your life. How do you value his word? Do you really consider light into your path? Are you studying it like it's your only light source? And through it, we run into contact and we have contact with Jesus? These are all things we need to example as we talk about Jesus being the light of the world. And in conclusion, you and I cannot walk with God without walking in the light. Christ says it unequivocally in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's do some deductive reasoning here. If darkness is in your life, it's proof you're not walking in the light. I wish I could tell you otherwise. And guess what? You can't have one foot in light and one foot in darkness. It's impossible. So the question is, are we really willing to examine our hearts and minds to see whether we've been walking in the light? Because it's a simple process that we have to do to get it right. You just no longer decide to walk in darkness and turn towards the light through repentance. It will change some things in your life. People will be able to tell that you've been walking with the Master. If you've not strayed away from the light, if you stray away from the light, you need to return. Running from the light is futile. And you can run and hide all you want to. But in judgment, you can't hide anymore. You're not going to be able to hide anymore when he shines the light on the deeds done for him in this world. As I like to say, if that ledger's blank, the next thing you're going to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. See, having a job is great. Having hobbies is great. But that's not walking in the light, per se. Having a house is great. Having things that we love, material possessions, are great. But that is not evidence that you're walking in the light. Being a millionaire, some people want to have as a goal. That is definitely not evidence that you're walking in the light. Are you walking by the true source of the light? We need the eternal light to light our path to heaven. That's the reality. Without the light of Christ, you and I are still living in total darkness. You may say, well, I can see. Well, you know what? You can sit in a dark room for a while and your light, your eyes adjust. Don't mean you got light in there. Your eyes just adjust. What happens with a sinful lifestyle is our eyes begin to adjust. And we think we're walking in light until you meet the true light. It happens before. You've been able to do things in the darkness sometime when power goes out. If you know where your stuff is in your house, stuff begins to become illuminated. You can actually see that couch that you stubbed your toe on the first time or that you ran into the first. You can see it now. You can find your way in the kitchen and get you something to drink, and there's no source of light. What happens when that true source comes back on, the power comes back on? Then you're able to understand that you're without light, that your eyes just adjusted for a little while. So I'm encouraging someone today to return to the light. We do so, or come into the light. We do so by hearing the gospel, believing what we have heard, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. That puts us in contact with the true life source. That's Christ. But if you've been in contact with the light source and darkness has crept into your life, now is the time to repent and return to the true source. Yeah, your eyes going to squint for a little while because it's going to be too bright for you. But the more you stay in light, the more your eyes adjust and adjust in a positive sense. God wants everyone in the light as he is in the light. He wants everyone to walk in the light so that we ourselves can experience the true light and the true reward that God's prepared for us. What's the decision that we make? We got to choose to walk with him. He's not going to force his light to shine in your life. He's not going to make it. He's not going to shove it down your throat. He's not even going to blind you with it. You have to have a desire to do so. And we do that by obedience to the gospel or repenting of our sins. So as we stand at this point in time, we're going to sing a verse or two of
608.
608.